WPVC LP Charlottesville. It's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm Andy.
Ryan.
Mark.
And Jeremy.
We have a special guest.
Alex.
All right, guys. Alex, you are a Tottenham boy?
That's right. Spurs fan all my life. Ever since my dad grew up in North London, and he has been rooting for them, you know, since the days of Jimmy Graham and the like, in the 60s, and saw the double. Which, you know, that all most Spurs fans can hold on to these days are doubles from 50 years ago. But
Well, thank you very much for being on the show, and we'll get to obviously your game in a bit. And as I said, feel free to join in.
All right.
So first game was actually on Monday, November 21st. It was West Brom versus Burnley. Absolute goal scorer this one. West Brom 4, Burnley 0.
Burnley were awful. Sam Arfield was just the worst player on the pitch I've seen all season. Just atrocious first touch, and they just got battered. 3-0 at halftime, and then Rondon in the second half to make it 4-0. That was the worst display Burnley have put in for probably about 3 years.
Well, credit to West Brom though.
Yeah, give him a little bit of credit, mate. Yeah, it's nice to see Matt Phillips get on the score sheet. He's playing well this year. James Morrison back as well after injury, so it was good. And our old boy, old Darren Fletcher, getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, I do feel sometimes that West Brom are kind of like the retirement home for Manchester United.
Them and Sunderland, mate, yeah.
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 All right, well, let's move on. This weekend, on Saturday, Chelsea versus Tottenham. We're going to go straight into it. I will ask the new boy, Alex, what did you think of the game?
I thought it was a evenly played match. I thought that Spurs took their chances when they could, but really, Dembele in the central midfield gave up two balls. Both balls led to goals, one in the first half, one in the second half. Also, there was a lack of closing out by Dyer on that first goal that was really just atrocious. You just can't give anyone that space, particularly someone like with the class of Pedro.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I said before, like, it was probably the most dominating performance from a team this season, like, any game. Tottenham in that first half, 44 minutes they did it for, and they unlocked it. They're the first team to unlock how to play against Conte's 3-5-2, play Son higher up the pitch, isolated Moses. You're basically playing against 10 men, kept making runs in behind. Moses can't relinquish his defensive duties in that system, so by Son playing so high up the field and being told, don't defend. Don't come back over the halfway line. We don't need you. And the transition in midfield for Spurs was really good in the first half. Even in the first half, I thought that you touched upon it, Alex, like Dembele. It was one of the worst performances I've seen him put in for a while because he's been brilliant for Spurs this year. But he was just had a bit of an off day yesterday.
But do you think that midweek, remember Champions League against, was it Monaco?
That's right.
Yeah, Pochettino was making some bad choices in that game.
But I mean, look, okay, so they're Europe. They're out of Europe. Now your sole focus is the league. And like I said, for 44 minutes, they were by far the best team. Chelsea did nothing in the first half. Absolutely shocking. And Alex touched upon it. You cannot give any player in this league, I don't care who they are, who they play for, four touches, 20 yards out, and not be within 6 yards of him. Cole Walker can see Dembele tracking the runner for the person on his outside. So just go close the ball down. Doesn't move. He actually takes two steps back. I'm yelling at the TV, actual words, but to the effect of WTR, and like, what are you doing? And like you said, Dyer doesn't move and just kind of sticks his rear end out, hoping to get a deflection. Mm. I mean, it was just, yeah. And that was really bad, because they're way better than that. Much better than that.
On that play, you could really see the loss of Enderweireld really hurt them. Usually he's playing in dire spot there. He usually has more of the aggressive central midfielder or central half kind of play. So he's going to come out and close out that play. Dyer, more of a holding midfielder, expecting the ball to come to him, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think a big factor for Dembele's kind of poor performance, and you could, you know, attest it to his really good performances in previous games, is having Eric Dyer play a little bit closer to him. Like you said, they missed Alderweireld back there, and I think it just shifted things. But they were so on top for that first half. They figured it out. And second half, it's almost like Conte said, okay, so they figured this out. Moses, go play further at the pitch. And who scores the second goal? Yeah. Like Moses. Like, you know, first time he'd been in the box for like 50 minutes.
He's been really good in that system. In fact, I think he was definitely their man of the match last weekend. Does anybody know when Alderweireld is coming back?
Any moment. He's back in training, I believe.
So realistically, I know that I was listening to some pundits from the UK radio stations back home, and they were saying that for a realistic shot for Tottenham to have a title charge this year, they had to win at Stamford Bridge, and their records at Stamford Bridge have not been good.
They haven't won in like 26 years.
Yeah, do you think they've still got a shot?
Top four?
It's still early. I mean,
top four, yes. Championship, I think it's going to be really tough.
Right.
Almost impossible with the strength of the teams above them, particularly City, Chelsea, obviously, which we saw yesterday, and, of course, Liverpool. I'm sure we'll get to that soon enough, but those three seem the strongest. Arsenal also are there, but Tottenham, it seems like the signings this year just haven't really clicked. Wanyama has been their best signing for sure, but Sissoko's been awful. Every game, he's been just atrocious.
Well, that seemed kind of like a last-minute panic buy, right?
I mean, but look at Janssen. You've just bought, I said it a couple of weeks ago, you've just bought Soldado, but in a slightly different shell. I mean, he's just terrible. He's like 3 yards off the pace. He has no pace.
He does.
His runs are just, I'm scratching my head going, why are you going down there?
A question
poor.
To Alex, then. Do you buy anyone in January?
I would love to get another winger.
Right.
That's what I think we need. So, Son is playing well, yes, but it seems like it's him, and then what else is behind him? Kane's been injured. You know, you hope Janssen can adapt to the pace of the league. It doesn't take everyone one game. It takes, you know, sometimes, right. You know, many games, and so hopefully that'll be the case.
I always, like, with the Janssen thing, I kind of, like, left scratching my head, like, because he must be showing something in training. Like, every day these guys go out there and do drills, game scenario, everything. So he must be showing something, but it baffles me how, you know, because in training when they split up, you get your defenders and your defensive midfielders right. against your attacking midfielders and your strikers. You're doing set pieces, game involvement in the final third. He must be doing something. Like, he must be banging them in training, and you're up against. And it's not like you're in a bad team where you're training against. No disrespect, but let's say Sunderland's defense. Like, you're coming up against Cole Walker, Danny Rose, Alderweireld, Vertonghen. Like, these are good players. Really good players. And like I said, he must be doing something to keep getting in the squad, getting on the bench, or even starting a few games. Yeah. I mean, I'm baffled. I don't get it.
I think they should. It's been a bad week for Tottenham, but at the same time, that first half should give some encouragement to be like, okay, we messed up the second half, but, you know, let's play the way we did in the first half and continue on. And maybe, like you said, maybe the Premier League this year, the winners is not them, but like a top four stop position would be realistic.
Yeah, I think so.
Top four, yeah.
But look, you know, don't take anything away from Chelsea. You still got to put the ball in the net. And they played against a very good Tottenham side. And you know what? Like I said, first half they did nothing, but they go in at the break 1-1. Like, they weathered the storm. And Hazard was brilliant in the second half. Even Costa was pretty decent. And they got the goal, they held on, and they're showing what it takes to win this title.
Yeah.
Well, let's not say it's all doom and gloom for Spurs. Yes, they're out of Europe, but this is their first loss in the league all year.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's not like they've been playing extremely poorly. They've had some results go against them, mostly their own fault. But yes, I think that they still have a chance for top four. Obviously, you know, there's a lot to play. We're about a third through the season.
Yeah, and look, over the next 4 weeks, you've got, like we spoke about last week, over the Christmas period, New Year, you've got so many games coming thick and fast. Yeah. It's easy to pick up six, seven points on a team above you. So,
all right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPBC. Charlottesville, you can get in contact with us, 4342-849-470. Hit us up on the phone. What do you make of the games this weekend? Are your team up or down? Let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. And also, don't forget, if you're a bit, you know, shy on the phone, you can email us and we'll read your questions out at blokesonthebench, all one word, no capitals, @hotmail.com. All right, next game. Kekom Stadium, Hull versus West Bromwich. 1-1 draw.
Yeah. Wasn't an exciting game. Wasn't that great. Gareth McCauley with a header in the first half, 34 minutes.
But Hull should have been...
Good finish.
I don't know. I think Hull should have really gone for the win in this game. I mean, they're...
Look, second half, they were a different team, second half, Hull. First half, they were terrible, did nothing. But second half, they actually did play really well. Everything was going through Snodgrass. It's good to see him back. He had, like, what, a week, game and a half out through injury. So everything goes through him. Set pieces, I mean, his left foot is dynamite. So, and then you got Dawson, second goal of the season for him. Hadn't scored in about 4 years before the other week. But... got on the score sheet, but Rondon had an absolute sitter with the last kick of the game and just, yeah, got it all wrong. So, but good point. Look, West Brom, good, they'll think of that as, you know, decent point away
you
from
got a
home.
Point.
Hull have kind of steadied the ship because they were kind of on the downward a little bit. So, yeah, nice to see Mike Feeling get a point and kind of steady the ship a little bit. So, but those two teams will kind of be down there, plugging it out.
All right, so the next game, King Power Stadium, Leicester City versus Middlesbrough. Leicester City just aren't pulling anything out right
They're
now.
They're terrible.
It was... Look, my boy Negredo scored... This basically sums up the game, yeah? Wasn't much quality in the game. Negredo scores after, like... It's been, like, since the first game of the season. He scored on the first game of the season. Hasn't scored since.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a swipe with his right foot, bounces off his left foot, and went in. Right? So that's 1-0. And then you've got your old Arsenal boy, Chambers, flapping around like a salmon in his own penalty area and handballs it. It should have been a free kick the other way. Like, Wes Morgan has just basically nudged him in the back, so he's kind of gone up with his hands up. Refs give a pen.
Yellow card.
Yeah, Mahrez scores. And then Negredo, second goal, terrible defending from Leicester. They've just, it looks shocking. But, you know, tidy finish from Negredo. And then in the 94th minute, Wes Morgan basically just feels a little bit of contact, throws himself to the ground like he's been shot out of a cannon, and give a penalty away in the 94th minute. It was just unbelievable. And Slimani came on, and he's been banging him in for Leicester. He's kind of been the bright spark for Leicester. This season, but yeah, Middlesbrough are going to not be happy about that.
Yeah.
So that brings me to one of my points. Mahrez is getting on the score sheet, you know, every now and again, but last year he was banging them in. Open play, penalties. Ryan, what do you think's contributed to his lack of goals?
Consistent midfield. They don't transition the lines now in the final third. They're not shifting the ball as quick as they did last year. Vardy being off song, yeah, that over the top ball for Vardy last year. So you have your two, think about it like this, yeah, everybody knew Vardy was on form last year. Danny Drinkwater, Conte, whoever was in the middle, ping that ball over the top, Vardy's gone, yeah. So your two central defenders for the opposite team who are trying to defend that only got eyes on Vardy. So they're tucking in. So teams played a little narrower when Vardy was on song, right? Which leaves so much room out wide for the one-on-ones for Mahrez, and they could work the ball that way very quickly with Conte playing in that middle. They lose him. You know, you've got King coming in trying to do a job in the middle. No disrespect for him. He's a well-experienced player, but definitely not the same as having somebody like that in there. So Mahrez is a little bit more isolated. Mahrez doesn't seem as hungry this year. Look, when everything's flying for you and you're banging them in, you're cutting inside, finding the top corner, life's great. Like, you turn up for training on a Monday and you feel brilliant. But when it's not going for you, it's really hard for somebody, a player like him, to, like, have the ability to grab, because he's quite a lightweight player. So all his ability comes from his feet, not necessarily, like, being... He's not up for the scrap, if you know what I mean. So, you know, you only have to look at the last three games, he's been substituted around 65 minutes. Like, you're bringing off, like, Riyad Mahrez after 65 minutes, and you need a goal. Doesn't make any... I mean, that tells you everything. Confidence in this game is so much of it, and at the moment, they're just a team lacking confidence. But like I said, it's nice to see someone like Slimani's kind of Okazaki's still doing the thing. Okazaki's still playing well, still finding the little pockets.
Yeah, I like Okazaki.
But he's to me, Okazaki's playing even better this year than he did last year, because he's having to do even more in, like, the engine room in that middle, because the likes of Vardy and Mahrez aren't firing on all cylinders. So, you know, when you break it down, it's a confidence thing and it's a lack of structure in the middle.
Do you think Mahrez should have jumped ship in the summer?
Arsenal, I mean, hindsight.
That was Vardy, Jeremy.
Hindsight's perfect science, isn't it? I mean, you could look at that and say maybe Vardy should have took the 20 million move to Arsenal. Maybe Mahrez should have went to Barca or whoever was looking at him. And that's easy to say now, but
I mean,
you don't know.
Leicester's just focusing on Champions League. They're going to win the Champions League.
That was my pick at the start. I said,
those boys, they
might be the first team to win the Champions League and get relegated in the same season.
They just,
there's actually bets going on in England about that.
They need to
5,000 to 1.
They need to find a wedding reception to go to and just kind of ease their cares away.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, guys, next game. I was surprised at this one, right? Liverpool versus Sunderland at Anfield. I thought this was going to be with Liverpool on their current form, or at least before the break, international break, I thought this was going to be a high score. Yes, it was 2-0, but I was thinking, 4-5 against... Sunderland.
Second week in a row, the final product in the final third, whether it be cross or finish, shocking. Absolutely shocking. If Origi wants to call us up and tell us that was a shot, I mean...
No way.
No chance. They were poor. 75th minute he scores. Look, if he meant it, that's a tidy finish against a very good goalkeeper, which we'll get to in a minute. But, just poor. And I've said it last week, and this week backs it up even more. The one player that they missed from that team over the past 2 weeks is Adam Lallana. You can't track Lallana. He's a different kind of midfielder, and he links everything. Yes, Coutinho went off injury. I think he got a scan. I don't think we know the results of it yet for ligament damage, so he could be out for a while. But look, Origi came on and scored, but really unconvincing. But Sunderland had a game plan, parked the bus, did nothing going forward. Anichibi was back to being what Anichibi does. Mm-hmm. Hasn't got a first touch. Didn't run any channels. They defended actually pretty decently. And, it finished 2-0. Milner with a penalty. Mane breaking late. But that's because Sunderland were trying to push more men into the midfield. So, it was pretty boring game. Yeah.
Did you want to say something, Alex, sir?
Yeah. So I think the thing about Liverpool that everyone that I've been talking to is, can they keep it up, particularly when they get the injuries? And the injuries are starting to hit them hard, with Coutinho seems like the big one. Lallana, I think, is a little bit more short-term. That's the question with them. Everyone knows that Klopp is going to be on the front foot with that team, but when you start to lose your top players, even if it's just for a couple of games here and there, you drop points. Granted, they didn't lose points here, but...
Yeah,
and the thing, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
Go on.
I was just going to say it just quickly. Like, we wouldn't even be talking about it if the likes of Firmino was scoring. Like, the past two games, he's had so many great chances, and he's just not got his shooting boots on. But that game could have easily been 4-0, and we wouldn't even be having the conversation.
Yeah. All right, guys. The time is now 6:20. All right, guys. Welcome back to the show. All right, Mark, you wanted to say one quick thing about the Liverpool game, right?
Yeah, well, not necessarily the Liverpool game, but just their style of play. It's been really aggressive, and, Klopp's really big on the high press, and it seems to be working so far. But I wonder, just like if you look at a match, this continual press throughout the season, stamina. Mm-hmm. Alex said, are they going to be able to keep up this form? I'm wondering if they're going to be able to keep up the form and the fitness.
What I'd say to that is, in the last two games, they haven't played like that. Like, we've seen a drop-off in that intensity, especially in midfield. But that's where you get it. You get that intensity from midfield, and it moves forward to those attackers, and they play with such high intensity. We haven't seen that in the last two games. What was the game last week? 0-0 against Southampton. Another boring game.
That was disappointing.
Again, couldn't finish, but that intensity, that quality in the final third hasn't been there in the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, if they keep playing the way they are, their fitness won't be an issue because they're not playing that intense at the moment. But look, I think like I worry about them when you talk about being able to sustain it. They need to bolster the squad. They need to. You need to be able to live with Sturridge getting injured, with Lallana getting injured, and still having five or six players to choose from.
So is it the depth that's kind of...
A little bit. But, I mean, you could say that about a lot of the teams in the Premier League. So it is a difficult balance. And
wasn't there a lot of talk about Klopp going into the Bundesliga?
Again?
For you guys?
Probably. I can see... Look, I told you, I think 90% of the business that will be done in January will be loan deals. I mean, I think that's just the way that the business is going. So it's who's available, who wants to move at that time of year to England. I mean, you know, and you know, if you're taking somebody from the Bundesliga or from any other league in Europe, coming to England in January and putting on performances.
Yeah, freezing.
That's a tough ask. It's not like turning up August the 1st when, you know, the rare occasion that the sun's shining in the UK. And you get to do the business. I mean,
snow
take
and sleep.
The top class player. They need to kind of come in at the right time, hit the ground running. I think that's why a lot of big buys aren't made. You know, buying them in the summer, prices are a little bit cheaper. And, you know, it gives them a time to be like, look, the weather's not that bad. But, yeah, coming in January, that's a tough... I wouldn't probably want to do it.
And I love the fact that the Arsenal fan is talking about fitness. We all know that they've had their issues over the last few years with that. Criticism of Wenger's been rampant. Every year it seems to come up.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are expert at this.
I actually told myself coming in here tonight that I was turning over a new leaf and I was going to be very nice to Mark. No more ribbiting. And now the new guy is having at you, Mark. What is this?
We're going to have you back every week.
I brought him in, so I knew what I was getting into. It's all right. I'm used to it.
All right. Next game. This was one of those weird games where it's a high-scoring game, but really just dreadful performance. Swansea versus Crystal Palace at the Liberty Stadium. 5-4 Swansea. Ryan,
all I could think about when I saw it, all I could think about is, so at the end of the season, they do game of the season. And I'm telling you, if this gets picked for it, I'm going to start supporting Wolverhampton in the Championship. Because, I mean, it was just, it was
the perfect analogy about
advert for the Premier League I think I've ever seen. Yeah, is it entertaining? Absolutely. Did the people who went there get their money's worth? Yes. The best goal that was scored in the entire game was Zaha after 19 minutes. And then the rest of them were from set pieces. And you're talking about two teams. Crystal Palace. How did Crystal Palace, get done by four set pieces? Four.
I honestly reckon Alan Pardew is getting the chop this week. I reckon Monday this week he'll be getting sacked.
It's just shocking. And you have somebody like Christian Benteke, who... I'll argue anybody at this point. Christian Benteke, in the 18-yard box, attacking, is probably the best header of a football in Europe.
Na, Giroud.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Benteke is probably the best in the box at crosses in Europe with his head and his thing. As far as I'm concerned, if you can do that in an attacking force, all I need you to do, Christian, is do the same thing when you're defending a corner, but head it away from the goal. He can't... It was shocking. If you watch three of the goals, they're not even goal side. I'm screaming at the TV and, like, rubbing my head, going, what was going on? I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Not even goal side. Something you learn when you're 6 years old. If you're marking someone, you stand goal side. It was shocking.
You had a description of the game before we came in. You were talking about...
Oh, it was like going into the stands and just like picking 11 Crystal Palace randoms out and 11 Swansea randoms out and being like, here's a ball, here's a referee, go and have a kick around. And they all ran for wherever the ball went, they just went. You could have thrown like a dishcloth over like 22 players. It was shocking. Some of the worst defending I've ever seen in my life. Worst defending I've seen in my life. But you know what? Bob Bradley, let's touch on it.
Yeah, you got to win.
Thank God, I'm so glad. But I'm telling you right now, these two teams, in my opinion, if they play like that,
they're getting relegated.
They're going to get relegated because if you're Bob Bradley's team, you're 3-1 up with 20 minutes to go, and somehow five goals go in after that.
It's terrible.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPBC Charlottesville. You can get in contact with us on the phone, 434-284-9470, or hit us on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. You can also email us if you've got any questions. We'll read them out. Blokes on the Bench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com. All right, so the next game was at Turf Moor, Burnley versus Man City. Man City, like, Aguero's back, scores two.
Yeah.
Did you get any of this game?
Yeah, so Dean Marnie scored a great goal.
Right.
Went 1-0 up.
Goal of the weekend, probably.
Tidy finish, wasn't it? Real good goal. But
a little disappointed, though. I mean, if you're Man City and you're going for a title charge, 2-1 against Burnley, really a great result?
It is, yeah. You know why?
All right.
3 points on the board, mate.
Right, I know.
And it's not a nice place
to
go.
If you're
going to
say that, then you can say the same thing about Swansea. 3 points on the board.
Yeah, but Swansea are in deep trouble.
But they've got 3 points.
But the problem is that Man City don't really have a defensive problem.
Right.
I mean, what I would say is that Burnley should have had a penalty in the first half. Otamendi. One of the big problems, you don't see it nowadays, but Turf Moor, yeah, is one of the old school grounds where there's three open corners. If that makes sense. So it doesn't wrap around, yeah, like in modern day stadium. So in that first half, the linesman had no chance of calling anything. I'm surprised he could even get a throw in right at his feet. Like the sun is blaring through this corner, yeah. So he couldn't give any offsides because he couldn't see anything. And then obviously that penalty that they should have got, where Otamendi is absolutely floored. Henrik or whatever his name is? Just absolutely poleaxed him. Ball's nowhere near him. And like they said, if the sun wasn't there or that corner was filled in, he'd give that all day long. So it was really strange to see. You don't see that, you know, in the Premier League very often, the sun having that big of an impact on the officials. But, bless him, he's running down the line with his
give
hand
him some
for
shades.
A visor. Yeah. But look, Man City doing what champions need to do. If you're going to win this league, you graft out, go 1-0 down, and you graft out a win. You take your 3 points and you bounce on. I think they made a lot of changes, actually. I think there was, like, 4 or 5 changes because of the game midweek, which saw the likes of Yaya come back in and stuff. So, I mean, they're doing what they're doing. And no one's really, you know, we're not ranting and raving about them. They had a bit of a sticky patch, but they're still up there.
Prime example, like you just said, is what champions do. The difference between Man U and Man City is we're drawing matches.
Yeah.
We're drawing matches when we go down a goal or losing.
Yeah,
and the teams that should have won this week won.
For me, you have to ask the question, what can stop Sergio Aguero other than himself and getting injured? He seems to be the most consistent scorer in the Premier League since he's come to the Premier League however many years ago it was.
Well, I'll tell you, in the last 34 Premier League games, he scored 33 goals. That's all you need to know. I mean, it's just absolute rampant rate. And sometimes he goes missing in games. Like, he's not the strongest. He's scrappy, but he's not the strongest. And he kind of disappears for 25 minutes. Give him half a chance, and the net's bulging. That's what you pay your money for.
He poaches the goals.
That's it.
Well, I mean, he'll miss a penalty, miss 3 shots he should make, and still wind up with a hat trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, he's any team in the Premier League, any team in Europe, I'm going out on a limb here, any team in Europe, if he became available, every single team would put a bid in for him.
Mm-hmm. But you take him off City, and who are they?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the young kid in Iheanacho looks good, but he needs time. You can't just throw him to the Wolves.
Brian?
But yeah, Aguero's a beast.
Mm.
I mean, he's like Luis Suarez without the biting, but they're very similar, players. And
Suarez hasn't bit anybody in years.
Yeah, fair play. No, sorry about it. I feel bad for that. Suarez, you haven't bit anybody in a really long time.
Yeah, credits. Kudos.
Yeah, well done, mate.
All right, let's move on to today's games. Manchester United versus West Ham at Old Trafford.
I'll sum this one up. 1-1. Sacco scores after 2 minutes, and then Ibrahimovic scores after 21.
But you know the odd thing was, I was watching this game, And they were before the game started, they were saying that there was another game played. I think it was the Southampton game.
Yeah. Yeah, the audio was mixed.
Audio was out, and you heard, oh, an Austin goal or whatever it was. And I'm like going, hang on a minute. What is going on here?
Yeah, they called the Charlie Austin goal. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that was on CNBC.
I'm sure he's not on the pitch. I don't see Austin running around. Yeah, guys. But yeah, disappointing.
We did some really good stuff in the first half. After they scored and playing, we got back in it. We looked pretty decent.
I actually disagree with you on Mkhitaryan. I think McKee's doing actually all right.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
I think he could be the signing of November.
Oh, my God. I mean, but first half, we looked good. I don't know why Paul Pogba picks the ball up 45 yards out, and his first instinct is, I wonder if I can smash this in the top corner.
Have you seen the memes with the Kermit the Frog? And it's got the bad one and the good one, I think, from the last Muppets movie. And it's one with Pogba, and it's the bad voice is saying, or the good voice, I'm sorry, is saying, oh, there's a teammate wide open. I should pass the ball. And then the bad one's like, no, but I can hit a screamer and do my dance.
But, I mean, look, I summed it up. I think I summed it up earlier. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, but I'd say the two best players on the pitch for us today were Valencia and Rojo, and I'm talking about two defenders.
Well, watching the game, like I truly, in the last 15, 20 minutes, there were opportunities, and I'm thinking to myself, longing for the days when Fergie was there, and you knew in the last 15, 10 minutes,
we were dangerous,
you were going to find goals, push, yeah. And just nothing. Like, it was just, it's disheartening as a Man U fan. Even more so, I think, than when Moyes was there for me.
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference between that is that Fergie never resulted to putting a Fellaini on and just throwing him up front.
Absolutely.
And we're just going to pepper balls up there. He had faith in the players that were out there. And when it got to 85 minutes, they were like, it doesn't look like he's making a change. If he would have made a change, he'd have made a change by now. All right, he believes in us. Let's just keep going. Let's keep, you know, he picked a team that he knew could win a football match. And that wasn't, the football match isn't won in 85 minutes, it's not won in 89 minutes, and nowadays it's not won in 90 minutes. 96 minutes is pretty much the average, mm-hmm. And he picked a team that could play for 96 minutes and that could win him a football match. And we made some weird, I don't know why we keep bringing off, like, Juan Mata. Juan Mata has basically been,
he was your captain today.
Yeah, he's the guy that plays, he's the only player that we have that really does drift from his position into what defenders for opposition would call no man's land, where they don't want to see somebody, and he receives the ball there constantly, and he's good enough that he makes things happen from those pockets, and we take him off, and then we bring on Wayne Rooney, who decides to sit even deeper at the top of the diamond. He might as well have put five in midfield. I mean, it's just,
I think Rooney should have started personally after midweek.
Forget all that though. I think one of the big talking points of this game was Mourinho.
I was going to say, as Man U fans, you know, a report card, what grade do you give him so far? And what, you know, he keeps saying that you all are the most unlucky team, but eventually you got to get points, not excuses.
Yeah. I was listening to Paul Scholes today, and he said that that team out there is a Champions League team. There's just something's not clicking with it.
I think Gig should have been given the job. I would have brought Gig, you can say, you know, it's a Man U thing, whatever, you just, you know, you want the old guys. But I think Scholes, but Giggs should have been in there. They knew how Ferguson played. They have the pride of the club. I mean, you just don't walk into Man U.
No, but I see what you're saying. But this game, even from that era, yeah, even from Alex Ferguson era, like the end, what was it, 2011? Right?
Around there.
I mean, The Premier League game, the modern day formation, has evolved. It has changed, and I don't think we can remember the history and everything those people gave us. That's great, okay. But I'm telling you right now, if Jose Mourinho becomes available to be your manager, you take him because he's a proven winner everywhere he's been.
But for me, it's the mind games. Everywhere he goes, he's playing mind games with his players.
Yeah.
Like, why is Luke Shaw not playing? You could say the same thing about a couple other players.
My biggest thing about when I look at Jose Mourinho, the biggest smile he's had on his face this season is 2 minutes before kickoff when we played at Stamford Bridge.
Mm.
interacting with the fans and with the old staff.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that interested to be, even in his interviews and stuff.
Was Ava Carnera there at the time?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
All right, guys, we need to move on. Next game, St. Mary's, Southampton versus Everton. We've got, obviously, the first minute of this. I didn't actually see Austin's goal. I heard it on the Manchester United game, but I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it. I'd probably put 10 bucks on it being a header.
Did any of you guys catch it at all?
No. It was a header. Like you. It was a header.
But you know what? That's actually a great result for Southampton. Any team, yeah. You score in the first minute, and then you can actually ride it out. But they look good even in defence. Like, they've got some really good defenders. They got Virgil van Dijk and Font playing back there, and they've had a really good season so far. So, and I said they might be up for. Somebody might come in for some big money for them this even in January.
How is Everton still in the top 10? It seems like they're dropping points every time I see them play.
Yeah. They had a good start.
All right, next game. Your boys, Arsenal. What did you make of this one?
So, it was kind of a tale of two halves. I thought that...
The winner loses. Go on.
No, I think carry on, mate.
So, I thought Bournemouth was a better side in the first half. They gifted us a goal. Sanchez pounced. You know, Sanchez is known for pressing.
He's filthy.
Yeah. I thought we were a bit unlucky to concede the penalty. But like I said, I think Bournemouth's play warranted a goal in that first half. And I thought when we came out in the second half, we looked re-energized and played with more purpose. And I was just really happy to have killed the game off late in the game. The last 15 minutes or so are pretty nervy for me. So,
yeah.
Theo's header was clinical. It was a
great ball from Monreal.
Just clinical.
All right, guys, the time is now 20-7. All right, guys, welcome back along to the show. Mark, didn't mean to cut you off there, but you had any more to say about the Arsenal game?
Not really.
You won, you lost.
I'm sorry about that. You shouldn't have apologized for the language again. Sorry, Mark, one?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I'm glad we came out in the second half and put on a better performance, but we've had some trouble at home this year, and I think our fans deserve better, especially with the high ticket prices.
Yeah.
The only thing I got to say about that game is, Mark, did you put 100 bucks on when you asked me for the prediction for the score? Should have, shouldn't you? What did I say?
No, I probably should have.
Yeah, 3-1. Boom.
Did you call the goals, though?
Don't have to, mate. 3-1 result, that'd have been a cheeky 1,500 bucks.
All right, guys, moving on to the next game. Watford versus Stoke at Vicarage Road. I was disappointed in Watford. They've had a bit of a good run so far. And they get beat by Stoke. But I think you called this one, because when we did the predictions last week, you said Stoke would take this one.
Yep. So I was going to say, and the goal was like weird. Like, it's Charlie Adam with a header, bounces off somebody, hits the post, hits Gomez, and goes in. Really weird goal.
As a former Spurs supporter, or current Spurs supporter who Gomez used to play with them, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
He used to have so many howlers, you know, in the box. He's improved a lot. But
yeah, he's got to be such a frustrating goalkeeper if you're a fan, because sometimes he pulls off some absolute worldies. Mm. And then next minute, he's like flapping around, Flapiansky style. And yeah. But yeah, I've always kind of rated him. I think he's a pretty solid goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And one thing we didn't speak of earlier is Paul Robinson coming back. And playing for Burnley against Man City. Hasn't played since 2012. Took a break from the game, actually. Not many players can do that, take a break and then kind of reevaluate and decide, yeah, I'll be a number two to Tom Heaton, but Heaton's obviously injured, so he played, pulled off some good saves. I think he's like 42 now, something like that, so it was nice to see him back.
I had to check to see if it was the same guy.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
All right, guys, let's look at the table then. So Chelsea are sitting on top on 31 points now. Liverpool on 30, Man City on 30, Arsenal sitting on 28, Tottenham on 24, so there's a 4-point difference between these guys. Man United sitting on 20th. Everton on 19, Watford on 18, West Bromwich on 17, Southampton on 17. And then let's go to the bottom, the relegation zone. 18, we have Hull City are sitting on 11 points. Swansea moved up one.
Yeah.
They moved from 20th to 19, and they're sitting on 9. And Sunderland, yeah, it's not looking good for them.
Yeah.
Sitting right in the bottom.
Yeah, and then you got West Ham just above them and Crystal Palace as well. So
yeah,
I mean, those are the teams that we kind of worried about. I think Leicester are third off the relegation zone. So yeah, you've got teams like, you know, teams that played well last year. West Ham, Crystal Palace, and Leicester City all kind of in the dogfight. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Leicester only 2 points off from relegation. Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah,
who predicted that? Just like last year. Who predicted that?
Yeah. But does anyone have the Champions League results?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do have the Champions League results. We're going to start on November 22nd, on Tuesday. In Group E, the big news was that Tottenham crashed out of the Champions League once again. Have to get that in as an Arsenal fan. And Group F, we saw a thumping by Dortmund, 8-4 over Legia. Madrid getting the better of Sporting, 2-1. Group G, Leicester going through. Last 16, let's see how far they can go.
Come on, you foxes.
Yeah, come on, you foxes. Group H, a really good match between Sevilla and Juve. Juve getting the better of them. Then we go to Wednesday, the 23rd. Group A, Arsenal, Paris Saint-Germain. Bit of an interesting game there as a fan. Two own goals in the same half. Finished 2-2 at the Emirates. It looks like Paris is going to be topping the group due to away goal differential, which means Arsenal once again will most likely face Barcelona or Bayern Munich or, you know, a heavyweight European club. In Group B, we had a pretty thrilling draw between Besiktas and Benfica. Group C, Barca, with some class goals from Leo Messi, especially the first one with Neymar sending the ball over the top. That was a 2-0 result, and I think Ryan called this Borussia Mönchengladbach drawing Man City 1-1.
Yeah, buddy. And I got the score right.
You did. Why aren't you in Vegas right now?
What do I say about Rostov as well?
Rostov, surprise result. Apparently it was 10 degrees in Rostov for the game. Bayern fielding, more of a B-side, you know, likes of Mueller and Neuer, some other key players getting to run along the sidelines in 10-degree weather, not starting the game. And then Atletico PSV, 2-0. Atletico is going to go through that group as tops.
And
due to the Rostov victory.
Yeah, and also Leicester are 3 now as well, so that's really good. Obviously something, a bit of a, you know.
You know, it's kind of good for, look, in the Premier League, yeah, so it's really good for teams like, even like Spurs, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, those kind of teams that aren't in it, like as a fan, I'm not talking about them as teams, but fans of those, everyone's still going to jump on the Leicester City bandwagon. I think everybody who supports a Premier League team that isn't in the Champions League would love to see Leicester win it. They just would. I mean, let the fairy tale continue. I mean, there's a chance they might get relegated, but like that's the one result I look for every time Champions League is on, like, how's Leicester getting on? Because we're not in it, so I couldn't really care less who wins. But yeah, I think for the neutral, everyone's still kind of on that bandwagon.
All right, guys, don't forget, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPBC. You can get in contact with us on the phone, 4342-849470, or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. You can also email us if you want to ask us a question, blokesonthebench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com. Liga results? We have the Liga results.
Basically, you can sum it up with Real Madrid won, Barcelona drew, and that's about it.
Messi and Ronaldo scored.
Ronaldo hit a brace.
There you go.
You can read them out.
Mark, you can pronounce a little bit better than I can, so I'm going to let you have at it.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, so Friday we had Eibar versus Real Betis 3-1. Saturday the results were Malaga 4-3 over Deportivo La Coruña. As Jeremy already mentioned, Real Madrid 2-1, wearing some throwback kits against Sporting Gijón.
It's actually the Parlay jerseys by Adidas. They're made from all recycled materials.
Okay. They looked pretty classic. Espanyol beating Leganés 3-0. Sevilla 2-1 over the struggling Valencia. Sunday we had Alaves 2-0 over Villarreal. Surprising result there. Osasuna losing to Atletico 3-0. Right. And we had Celta Vigo, Granada, Celta getting them 3-1. Real Sociedad, FC Barcelona was actually a draw. Apparently Sociedad has been a very, very tough place for Barcelona in the last couple years. And Monday we'll see Las Palmas play Athletic Bilbao.
All right. Does anyone have the UVA results? Because I know that the women's team, they got knocked out, right? The men's are still in it.
The men's actually beat Vermont 2-1 last Sunday to face Stanford tonight at 8 o'clock.
Come on, you Cavs.
Now, is Stanford any good,
Stanford
Jeremy?
Stanford's pretty good. You're actually looking at not a rematch, but you're looking at the last two national championship winners playing tonight.
Wow.
Barn burner.
Hopefully they'll win. No, it's actually in California, isn't it?
It's in California.
Yeah, they're playing on Cali.
I don't think it's at Stanford, though.
Okay. All right, well, let's take over the fixtures list. Now, let's talk about this, Ryan. We spoke about it before we get to them. Premier League is about to go into kind of overdrive for the next month.
Yeah, buddy.
How many games, again, is it per... per team? Forget, obviously, Champions League and all that stuff.
Usually play... So in the month of December and the first 5 days of January, I think every team plays 7 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's so if you break that down, there's going to be weekends and then I guess 2 weeks where there's going to be like a middle game.
Yeah, well, you have a Boxing Day game. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's the 26th of
Christmas.
December, day after. And then you have the New Year's Day games, and then that weekend they get games in like literally 2 days after New Year.
So this is a point where managers are kind of going to their teams, look, this is going to get tough, but this is the point where we can really start making headway on points.
This is where you see the teams that have real good...
accelerate away from everyone else.
Strength and depth in their
right.
squad.
Because obviously injuries are going to start coming.
Yeah, and the way the climate is over there... this period shows who's got the best squad, who can rotate, what managers can manage certain players very well. Like I said, sometimes, you know, someone like Man City might have to rest Aguero for the Boxing Day game or the week before the Boxing Day game.
So any team that's got good depth, the more they can take him out and put someone else
basically
in.
Basically rotate, but not lose too much in the way of firepower. And it's usually, you know what, it's usually the team that's top on New Year's Day. I think it's like the last, I'm going to say it's the last 12 or 13 champions has been top of the league come, maybe it's the 5th of January, because I think Arsenal have done it a few times where they've gone in being top spot, but obviously really wanted to finish.
You had that end, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, mate, yeah.
So, for all the Yanks out there, I have British friends across the pond, I know. Can you explain to our listeners what is Boxing Day?
We actually described it last week. We talked about it last week and you weren't here. It was so the Houses of Parliament, all those people that kind of sit there and go, all the people that were in there would have little boxes, little wooden boxes made, where they could put pennies through the year and collect money, and then go onto the streets the day after Christmas and give it out to the homeless and the people who were vulnerable. And that's basically where the name came from.
Nice.
Learn something new every day, don't you, mate?
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, Christmas is the best time to be watching this league. It just is.
Yeah.
And as I said, you pray for your team not to get injuries and to make sure you can start making headway on points. Anyway, yeah, so let's get on with the fixture list. So December 3rd, this coming Saturday, we have Man City versus Chelsea.
Should be a good one.
And it's that.
That's an understatement, yeah.
It's at the Etihad, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Is that the 7:30 game?
It doesn't say.
Could be.
Most likely, if it's a derby, it's probably the 7:30
What are you thinking, Ryan?
I'll go 2-2. I'll go for a really good game, 2-2.
Crystal Palace versus Southampton. And Alan Pardew, if he still has a job then,
Southampton has 2-0. To win.
Will you send 2-1?
2-0, Southampton.
Stoke versus Burnley?
Stoke, 1-0.
Sunderland versus Leicester?
Leicester.
Oh, I'm going 1-1.
Spurs versus Swansea. That
should be a high-scoring game, right? Yeah. After what we saw this week.
I'll go Spurs 4-3. Write that one down, Mark. 4-3 Spurs.
West Bromwich versus Watford. I'm going for Watford.
I'm actually going for a 0-0 on that.
When's Troy Deeney going to get that, that elusive 100th goal?
2-1. 2-1, that, and he'll score one of them.
I'll go 0-0, mate, sorry, right, to deflate the bubble.
West Ham versus Arsenal. 2-0 to West Ham.
West Ham after a fine showing against Man U today.
Oh, they're bound to... Honestly, this is what annoys me, yeah, is that they did that. I get Arsenal to walk over them. 3-0, Arsenal.
I can't see that.
Really? So what about...
I'll take Ryan's prediction.
There you go, mate. I was right today. Put a tenner on it.
There's two games on, I guess, on Sunday, which is Bournemouth versus Liverpool.
I could actually see that being...
Go Eddie Howe.
I actually think Liverpool will win that 2-1.
Everton versus Manchester United.
Everton 2-1.
I'll go for 1-1.
And then there is actually a Monday game. Middlesbrough versus Hull, which of course we're
still Middlesbrough 1-1.
All right, before we go, we do need to talk about something that's just been brought up, and it's happened this week. Klinsmann has obviously been let go of the men's national team. What's everyone's thoughts on that?
This is a good move. Bruce Arena, UVA, DC United, we've seen him in the role before. He really took USA from the role of really just nobodies in the international space to somebodies. I think this is good.
See, and I'm going to disagree. I think Klinsmann gone is fantastic, but I think Bruce Arena's done. I think he's shown that with the Galaxy the last few years.
Has he been your international manager before?
Yes.
To me, logically, it's a step
backwards.
Klinsmann's not the right guy. Klinsmann lost interest a while ago, couldn't get done what he wanted to do. In my opinion, why go... You've gone for like a safety net almost instead of keep expanding on what you've been trying to do over the past 10 years.
Well, one of my issues was it seemed kind of like a panic.
Right.
A panic.
It was reactionary.
It was definitely reactionary. Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
48 hours, something like that?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's two ways to look at it. You know, do you get rid of a coach during a World Cup qualifying campaign, or do you stick with that coach and see what happens?
I think you're right to get rid of the manager. My biggest thing is if you're going to make that kind of brazen of a move at this stage to somebody like Jurgen Klinsmann, who's won the World Cup once,
former Spur.
So. I don't know. For me, it feels like a bit of a step backwards. You're telling me there's not some, like, young coach in the MLS who could have made that step up and give him...
Portland Timbers coach?
You got to start believing in somebody a little bit younger who's going to, like, kind of expansively move on the players that you've got. You've got a lot of young talent, but I'm not sure that... I honestly don't think it's a good appointment.
But you're talking about safety nets. Who's Gareth Southgate, you know? He's a safety net,
He's a nobody.
Yeah.
Is the truth of
it. But he has more experience than some of these other ones coaching the under-23s.
What I'm saying is Gareth Southgate has gone through the levels that you need to get to once you've finished becoming a player into management. This will be the biggest management job if we actually officially offer it him and he takes it. And you know what? The guy's young. And from the games that I saw, he's still willing to bring in new additions to the squad. To me, it's a little bit of a joke, right, what I'm about to say, but to me, Arena's going to come in and be like, Lando, do you want to come back and have a game? Do you know what I mean? Dempsey, you're the greatest thing I've ever seen since sliced bread, mate. Come run my forward line.
We're bringing Claudio Arena back.
You got to make, to me, I think you've got to you got to adjust with the times, you've got to kind of move on, and I'd have liked to have seen them take their time and kind of really put together a list and do it on merit, not just on like the history of what's happened.
I can't
the game
wait.
Evolves. The game evolves. Every 2 years, this game evolves like you wouldn't believe. And
I can't
some
wait.
Get it and some people that don't.
I can't wait until Arsene Wenger is your national coach.
Never going to happen, mate.
Never. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We're obviously out of here now. I want to thank Ryan.
Yep. Me, Ryan.
Jeremy.
Mark. Alex. And our guest, Alex.
Thank you, Alex. You're more than welcome to come on anytime.
Thanks for inviting me, guys.
All right, guys. Have a great week. See you soon.
Later.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.